Amina is an activist during the Arab Spring. Her blog, Gay Girl in Damascus, attracts readers from around the world. When she's mysteriously abducted, her followers mobilize, desperate to save her. What they find shocks them. I'm Samira Moyeddin, the host of Gay Girl Gone, a new 6-part series from CBC. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast.
Every briefing I've ever got from all my intelligence and security experts is that those elections were indeed free and fair, and nothing we have seen and heard, despite, yes, attempts by foreign states to interfere. But the feeling that individuals can have that maybe our institutions aren't so strong, maybe they are impacted by foreign actors who wish to do ill to Canada and to Canadians, is something that we need to be very, very thoughtful about.
That's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau testifying at the public inquiry into foreign interference yesterday in Ottawa. The inquiry is looking into claims that China in particular meddled in Canada's past two elections, but many questions still stand around how and when intelligence information is shared both with the Prime Minister and with the public. Stephanie Levitz is Deputy Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
What did we learn broadly from the Prime Minister's testimony yesterday?
One of the things we definitely learned is that the Prime Minister himself challenged some of the intelligence that he was receiving about alleged state meddling in the election. And we also learned a bit about how that kind of intelligence reaches the Prime Minister, when it does, when it doesn't, that it's not always written down, that he receives a lot of oral briefings. And that really puts some of the what got us here to this inquiry under the microscope, because a lot of it was based on leaks of CSIS briefs and intelligence documents suggesting that the Prime Minister and others, you know, high up in the political realm of government were told about these instances of alleged state meddling and perhaps chose to do nothing about it. What we learned yesterday is that a number of these instances the Prime Minister didn't know about, and the ones he did, he made active decisions challenging the intelligence, saying, I don't think it's there yet, so I'm not going to do anything.
To your point, that pushes back on, and you've written about this in the paper, it pushes back on the very concerns that prompted the creation of this inquiry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how we got to where we got was this sense that CSIS in itself was holding on to information, potentially explosive, that suggested that not that foreign states were trying to meddle in the last two elections, but that they actively did meddle in the last two elections. There was implications on that for the vote on who was getting elected, on who wasn't getting elected, and the inference that the government knew, and the partisan inference being that they chose not to do anything about it because it was going to benefit them, most specifically in the case of the 2021 election and some of the allegations there about what might have been happening. And so if you have now the Prime Minister and his senior aides saying, listen, some of this stuff we never even heard about until after the election, and the stuff that we did, the intelligence wasn't always right. That was something we also heard during this inquiry, that CSIS sometimes recalled the information it had. There were mistakes. There were errors. We don't know why they took it back. And so it sort of paints to this muddy picture of intelligence gathering. And we've heard many times, Matt, over the last several months, this is or years now, this has been in the public domain. Intelligence isn't evidence. Okay, we accept that to be true, perhaps, but still it is intelligence. And the choices that are being made around what to do with it and what not to do with it have now gotten a pretty thorough public airing.
So there was the suggestion that we're talking about China in particular, China preferred a liberal government, liberal minority government. The Prime Minister was asked about this and whether China was backing a particular horse in the election. Take a listen to what he said.
I can certainly say that while individual officials may well have expressed a preference or another, the impression we got and consistently would get is that the actual People's Republic of China would have no it just would seem very improbable that the Chinese government itself would have a preference in the election.
What do we know about whether there is actual intelligence that the Prime Minister had access to that might suggest otherwise, that China did in fact have a preference?
Yeah, it's interesting because the question of what do we know still remains at the heart of this inquiry. While the inquiry and therefore the public saw a lot of intelligence summaries, a lot of situational documents, much of it was still redacted. Much of it was produced as summaries, which means it was meant to be understood as this is what we can tell you in public. What these summaries said the public can know again and again and again was that the Chinese government was actually party agnostic, and that they weren't so much picking a horse as they were looking at, okay, whose policies are better or worse for the, you know, our own state interests. They didn't necessarily declare, okay, we think the liberals are better, although there is some of the intelligence summaries suggesting that they didn't like the Conservative Party's platform in 2021, in particular the tone Mr. O'Toole, Aaron O'Toole, the leader at the time, was taking, some of his ideas, that rankled them. But they didn't have sort of again, based on the documents we saw, they didn't really have a very clear, okay, we're going to, you know, go this way because we want to reelect a Trudeau Liberal government.
This inquiry was called in part because of these reports, and you've hinted at this, the reports that the Chinese government helped Member of Parliament Han Dong win the Liberal nomination in his riding in 2019. He later left the Liberal caucus amid global news reporting that he was secretly in contact with Chinese government officials over the fate of Michael Spavor and Michael Kovrig. He denies those allegations. He remains still out of the Liberal caucus, sitting as an independent. What did the Prime Minister say yesterday about what he knew about the possible interference by China in Han Dong's case?
So we can unpack those two allegations maybe just really quickly, yeah. Right? The one about the nomination race in 2019 and the one about the conversation related to the two Michaels. And on the one about the nomination race in 2019, what the Prime Minister said he knew was that, and this was one of the very only instances we heard of where the Prime Minister was briefed in real time about alleged state interference.
By his campaign director.
By his campaign director during the, you know, in an airport, a 20-minute in-person conversation during the election, because his CSIS told the campaign said we better tell the boss, they told the boss, and the boss said, really, though? I mean, can we push back on that? How much do we know about this? Does CSIS understand that when you bus people to a nomination race, which is one of the concerns, I guess, they flagged about Han Dong, there were buses of international students, potentially coming at the behest of China in order to vote for Han Dong, maybe threatened with retribution if they didn't. And the Prime Minister pushed back on that. And he said, in my own nomination contest in 2007, I had busloads of people coming from various community groups to vote for me because that's what politics is. And I think that here we see the crux of the disconnect, perhaps, with all of this, Matt, where CSIS sees spying, politicians see politics. Mm. And the question becomes, who gets to win that argument? If the Prime Minister pushes back and says, I don't think your intelligence is solid enough, I'm not sure you understand what buses actually are and what they mean in nomination races. And CSIS is saying, listen, hey, we think these buses were sent by the Chinese government. I suppose at the end of the day, it's the Prime Minister who gets to make the call. But there's a tension there, Matt. And I think this is a thread that will continue as we discuss foreign interference about actual influence, just regular diplomacy, trying to do something, covert interference, seeking to meddle secretly. And how much of that is politics and how much of that is at the direction of a state trying to create a particular outcome?
Just before I let you go, what are Canadians left with at the end of this first phase of the inquiry?
I think we're left with reflecting on a paragraph, and this might sound a little wonkish, but reflecting on a paragraph that was in the report done on the security of the 2021 election by a fellow named Morris Rosenberg, and that was part of the election infrastructure, security infrastructure the government set up. And in this report, it said, some consideration must be given to what happens if information is leaked after the fact. It is not communicated during the election. It is leaked after the fact, and it calls into question the government's ability to purely and cleanly safeguard an election. And that's where we are. Can the government be trusted to safeguard Canada's democratic process? And I think that Justice Marie-Josée Hogue, who was in charge of the commission, her report is really going to need to focus around answering that question.
Stephanie Levitt, it's great to talk to you as always. Thank you very much.
Take care, Matt. Have a great day.
And you, Stephanie Levitz, is the Deputy Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star.
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart MacLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of the Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at the Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
She mentioned Aaron O'Toole. He is the former leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. He testified at the inquiry earlier this month. He's been listening in. He's with me in studio. Good morning. Nice to see you.
Good morning, Matt. Nice to be back.
What do you make of what the Prime Minister said yesterday?
Well, the Prime Minister finally had to start answering a few questions on this topic, and he's been kind of dragged reluctantly through the entire process. You know, we had the special rapporteur, David Johnson, all these sorts of things. We're now finally having a bit of a look at this issue, which is important because it goes to the roots of our democratic rights, our democracy. And we're now, his testimony yesterday contradicted his initial response to some of the concerns about Mr. Dong, some of the leaks in the Globe and Mail. So I think we're getting a partial airing of some of these issues, and that's what I think we need to do. And it needs to be nonpartisan, and that's not been the case with such a reluctance to even look at the issue. I certainly was there in the 21 election. There was a lot of foreign interference directed at a few specific candidates. I think our government doesn't have adequate line of sight into what happens on WeChat, and more people in Canada get their news from WeChat than Stephanie Levitt's paper. So I think we have to recognize that every vote matters. Every Canadian should have the chance to vote and not be intimidated, not be misled.
I'm going to come back to the partisan piece in a moment. You said during your testimony, and this is kind of picking up just on what you've hinted at, that the Conservative Party lost between 5 and 9 seats, perhaps, in Metro Vancouver and the GTA due to targeted interference from China. You heard the Prime Minister say it's improbable that the Chinese government had a preference in the Canadian election. They weren't picking a horse in the race. What do you think of that?
Well, from the WeChat, which is a channel, social media channel that has everything on it, over 1 million Canadians use it, Matt, all the messages were about one party. Yeah. They were misleading people on me, some of our candidates like Kenny Chu in Richmond, BC. So we went into this working with the task force, trying to make sure that any misinformation was countered.
Why do you think you would have won those seats otherwise?
Well, we had modeling, Matt, for all of the seats in Canada. And the only seats that fell out of the range of our model, this predictive modeling that modern political parties use, were seats with high populations of Chinese Canadians. They happened to overmap or overlap perfectly with the areas we saw heavy voter influence, voter suppression measures, and turnout was a lot lower in those areas than in the past. So it's important to say, Matt, I never mentioned any of this while I was Conservative leader.
Because
I never wanted people to suggest that the election was swayed from Conservative to Liberal because of interference. I respect our democracy too much. But the long term is if we allow these little elements of interference to get worse and worse, which they seem to be going from 19 to 21, it's going to discount certain people's votes in this country. And a lot of people come to Canada for those democratic rights. So I'm glad we're having this airing. Both phase one and phase two are important because phase two, we're going to try and put some policy recommendations on how to clean up nominations so we don't have foreign money, which we now know there was foreign money.
But let me go back to this. If this was that important, and if you feel like you lost those seats, why didn't you say that before? Why? You can say you respect the process, you respect Canadian democracy, but if it's an existential issue, why wouldn't you have mentioned it before?
Because we continued to work with this, what was called site task force, Matt. So the election night, I had concerns. But until Mr. Trudeau swore in a new cabinet, the caretaker period was still on. So we were actually sharing intelligence that we gathered in the last 2 weeks of the campaign because we were being ignored by the task force. So after the result, I said to my team, keep sharing the information. I really think that CSIS or someone like this needs to put out a statement on the fact that there were attempts to mislead people and suppress the vote. We now know that's the case. Mm. That has been in the evidentiary record at the inquiry.
After your testimony, the Prime Minister said, these are his words, I can understand why someone who lost an election is trying to look for reasons other than themselves.
I was a little disappointed in that. I've never been partisan about it. The first time I spoke about it was on Nathaniel Erskine Smith, a Liberal MP's podcast, mainly because I don't think that we should just consider 5 or 6 or 7 seats rounding errors in our democracy.
What happens if this becomes partisan? I mean, it's already a partisan issue. It's not what happens if it becomes partisan. This is already a partisan football. What happens if that continues?
Well, some of the recommendation, I think Justice Hogue and her team are very smart. They're nonpartisan. They can make recommendations to avoid some of this. I've also had a CSIS briefing, Matt, that lets me know that some of the issues that the inquiry is not even hearing, there was a coordination that makes me quite certain that there was a fairly sophisticated campaign of foreign interference by China. The issue is, I don't know if it impacted a couple of seats. We've used this range of 5 to 9 because of the modeling, because of the evidence we saw during the campaign.
What you have seen, though, suggests that it's much more sophisticated than what we're hearing about?
I think, yes. And I mentioned this in the House of Commons. Mm-hmm. There was money, people, in terms of the United Front Workers Department, and it's crossover into our regular discourse now. Once there's enough misinformation online, we're seeing this in the United States in a massive way, that deluge of misinformation slowly starts leaking into normal dialogue. So I think phase two of the inquiry will look and say, okay, where are the holes in our system, whether it's nominations, whether it's money, whether it's, I don't think the Prime Minister's office has taken some of the intelligence briefings seriously enough. Can we make recommendations on all these things? Can parties be warned ahead of a nomination if there's a concern on a certain candidate? All of these things, I think, need to be discussed as nonpartisan as possible. But, you know, politics is politics. I've tried to keep the politics out of it. I've always said, you know, Mr. Trudeau won the election. I congratulate him that night and never mentioned this issue, Matt. Our democracy is too important.
Do you worry about a time when that may not be the case, when an election may be run and there is a dispute over the view, or somebody says, I'm not sure about, they don't come out and say this person won the election fairly?
We've had a number of minority governments. And in our own polling, Matt, in 21, 5 days before the election, we were winning a narrow minority with a handful of seats. So coalitions, you know, Mr. Singh is propping up the Trudeau government with a big coalition of sorts. Every seat matters, but on principle, Matt, every vote matters. If there's one person who has family in China or another country and feels that that state is intimidating them or there's some risk to their business or to their family and they're not exercising their franchise, that should matter to Canadians whether or not that one vote or those 5 seats can sway an election. We have to be willing to fight and defend our rights. And I think we can make our system a little bit more transparent and defend it from these measures, whether it's social media, whether it's money, whether it's volunteers.
There will be another federal election in a year or so at some point in time. Nobody exactly knows when, but, you know, within the next 15, 18 months. What are you most concerned about? Is it China that you're most concerned about?
I think if you look at geopolitics, and this is what I do now in the private sector in terms of trade and security globally, the world is shifting. There's a deglobalization. There's the BRICS group of countries. There's the war in Ukraine. There's misinformation about Ukraine all the time, and it's even leaking in to some of our politics here, Matt. I think what I think should have happened in 21, there should have been a targeted warning to Chinese Canadians to say, do not believe some of the things you're reading on the WeChat channel.
Although, I mean, again, as we've heard, intelligence isn't evidence, right? So at what point in time do you say that?
There's been a bit of a willful blindness approach to the government. You're never going to get perfect intelligence, but intelligence guides your decision-making. And I think why we saw the leaks, Matt, mm-hmm. is that people in the intelligence agencies of our country saw a reluctance to act on this government. And I think, you know, there should never be a leak because, you know, I was in the military. I respect our ability to gather information and rely on our allies. But there cannot be a pattern of discounting it all the time. It's what you do. So could a targeted warning have said to people, be very cautious about what you're reading about Kenny Chu or about the Conservative Party? That might have allowed people to know that there was misinformation happening. That could be one of the recommendations here. So I think this is a time for us to build up our election before next time to be a little bit stronger in terms of repelling this interference.
We're out of time, but do you believe the Canadians should have... This is about confidence. Should Canadians have confidence in that system?
I believe so, but there's cracks. There's cracks, and 5-6 ridings, they matter, Matt. So I think this fair election guide shouldn't be 338. Was there enough faith in all of it? Mm. We should try and safeguard every riding. As I said, every vote counts. And how can we protect that privilege to vote?
Aaron O'Toole, good to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Aaron O'Toole, former leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. He testified at the public inquiry into election interference earlier this month.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.